حفظه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And السلام عليكم to your listeners.
Now, last week marked 100 years since the Sykes-Picot Agreement was signed. What is the relevance in our current day and age?
Well, there is plenty of relevance to it, most definitely. Signed 100 years ago, it still has become what we call the shorthand for many of the principles on how the Western world has involved or interfered in other parts of the world. It deals with and it reflects on many of the colonial repercussions, these consequences that they're faced with even till now. Everything from drawing up the map and borders of the map to how it was put out and creating ethnicity and cultural division amongst people in the Middle East, it looks very artificial to people on the ground because that is exactly as it is. It's someone from the outside coming in and choosing to create demarcations and saying which part of the of your region, of the Arab world, you belong to. We know that 100 years ago, Jordan was part of Palestine, and there was no Jordan, for example. And so if we look back to Islamic terminology, that all of that land was regarded as Sham itself and belonged under one rulership itself. But when we look at the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 100 years ago and an anniversary or a remembrance of it of some sort, it is actually just one of the most notorious examples of colonial practice. So if we go back to 1916, in the midst of the First World War, that's when the French and British empires were eyeing their spoils of war in the crumbling Ottoman Empire and then signed the secret Sykes-Picot Agreement. We know that Sir Mark Sykes was a British diplomat, very ill-informed, and was very nonchalant about this whole colonial rule itself. If you go back to the treatment and the agreement and read some of the principles, it's astounding on what's done. It was actually a form of slavery for people in the region. It took a while for the Arabs to learn of the conspiracy, and of course they were then outraged when they learned of it. But today, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, while it's not that important and many of those rules and principles have been broken over the years, it does serve as a lesson to us about conspiracy and greed and the impact of colonialism on people in their lives on a daily basis. It also goes back to explain to us why Iraq and Syria are in so much of violence and turmoil, but that would be a discussion for much more in-depth discussion, because it's fascinating in how this has impacted on the current day Iraq and Syria itself. Intervention of the Western world, all of that, the invasions of Iraq in 2003, all of that as a result of the Sykes-Picot Agreement that continued. So although it doesn't have that much of an impact in this current day and age and post the Arab Spring, some would argue, it still has played a role, according to many, for the historic devastation that it has brought to the Middle East. So an important reminder to us that while some countries in the Western world and some First World powers are commemorating the 1916 Sykes-Picot Agreement last week, this week, until the end of May itself, that for people in the Middle East and for Arabs particularly, they are very resentful of this treaty that was placed upon them and not decided by them.
Now, are there any new developments in the Egypt air crash?
Gosh, yes. When it comes to Egypt, in any story, whether it's regarding a tragedy such as this, whether it's regarding politics on the ground, Egypt seems to always be changing its story back and forth. It does reveal to us once again how deeply involved politics and the military of Egypt is involved in the story. There's many conspiracy theories afloat. We do understand that more wreckage was found north of Alexandria, that smoke was detected from this Egypt Air flight before the crash, and that we have President Sisi saying that all scenarios are possible. What's very disturbing is that the same gentleman and team that were involved in that Russian crash, which we talked about, was it last year sometime, about the in Sinai, or in rather Sharm el-Sheikh, that same team of investigators are busy with this same investigation now. Nothing came of that. The media was not allowed into much of the press conferences, pretty much making it negligible. So as a result of that, many people on the ground in Egypt are concerned that the same team are involved in this. And so that doesn't leave people with much hope of there being any type of ethical investigation. We do know that Egypt has released images and continues to do so, images of the plane wreckage, and follows up very strongly on the smoke reports. They're very careful not to state specifically what has happened. I think international media watching very carefully, but we're hoping to involve other countries, and we're hoping for that so that they can come to some type of analysis in their investigations right now. But with Egypt at the forefront in choosing to run this investigation, the hope of there being any type of conclusive reports are very, very dim indeed. For the people that have been affected, their families, I know one case very closely, the lady who had gone to Paris to see her father who was having cancer treatment and had left behind three children, and of course now those three children without a mother. It's a tragedy indeed. A greater tragedy, or part of that greatness of the tragedy, is when governments involved are incompetent in their search and refusing to allow cross-country investigations for their own reasons.
What do you make of the initial speculation from officials that in all likelihood this was some sort of a terror attack, and that there was a bomb that was detonated on the plane, and that the likelihood of mechanical or electrical failure was very slim by comparison?
I think there's a level of caution we have to exercise. We often find that looking back on reports that say ISIL or ISIS has reported that they would like to, or were going to, or intending to target certain countries or terror group or groups that they regard as terrorists. And I think very often the media as well as analysts are quick to jump onto that bandwagon. There needs to be more thorough research and investigation. I was at a conference last week that spoke just about this topic, that because of all of this proliferation of groups like ISIL and ISIS that quickly claim and lay, take the responsibility, we find that we're lacking when it comes to investigative reporting, and that's a concern on the level of journalism. On the level of investigation and reports on this, I think that was very premature to say from the outset. This was mentioned even before releasing profiles of the crew or the passengers on board. So I think we need to just err on the side of caution on that level. Very much a possibility, as is. We do know that Egypt is involved heavily so with Russia on many issues in Syria, much of which isn't coming to the fore in mainstream media. So that could very much be a possibility as well. Yeah.
And then finally, the reports indicating that the Taliban leader had been killed by a drone strike, Mullah Akhtar Mansour. Is this playing out in the Middle East at the moment? How has it been covered?
Interesting. Well, it depends again on media and how they're choosing to cover it, in the sense that countries in the Gulf are covering it much more than perhaps Egypt or Lebanon or Jordan, simply because this news story would be fodder for their readers and listeners. So we find that in the Gulf we have one of the highest concentrations of Indian, Pakistani and Afghani nationals, and that this story would be of greater interest to them. So that story is being followed up on that level to feed the fodder that listeners or the audience is looking for. It's forming a story, but it's by no means a breaking news story. In fact, stories that are playing off much more importantly in the Middle East would include Yemen itself and how things are turning turbulently every single hour. So it is a story that has been covered. It is a story that has come to the fore. There have been a few analytical pieces written in Arabic about the Taliban, about Al-Qaeda, just bringing up much of what we already know and just more analysis into it, but nothing new, nothing groundbreaking from the Middle East on this topic.
As always, jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated.
You're most welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.